we're talking about the power of the resurrection. And frequently when we think about the resurrection, we think about, well, obviously what happened. We're celebrating the reality that Jesus rose from the dead. The power of the resurrection, the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead on Resurrection Day. And so we get to express our gratitude for that and celebrate that. When we consider the power of the resurrection, we also look forward to the future when we realize that as a result of Jesus' resurrection and the power of that resurrection, we one day will experience a resurrection as well, a resurrection from the dead. But today, rather than just looking at the past and celebrating or just looking at the future and looking forward to what we have, I want to show you how the power of the resurrection affects us here and now in the time that we live. First of all, we will look at the reality of a confident faith that results knowing that Jesus was raised from the dead. We will also look at a living hope that is ours as a result of the resurrection and what we have to look forward to. And we'll also see a firm stability that that will create in our lives, that no matter what the circumstances are that we are experiencing here on earth, and we will honestly see that it's not always good, we'll experience trouble and trials, but in the midst of those, we can have a hope, a firm hope, a living hope that establishes us in having a secure life and a firm stability in our life. So now that you have the verses printed before you and you really have the what would fill in for the last three lines there, if you want, if you just trust me at the word that I've just shared with you, you can go home if you want and enjoy your Resurrection Day lunch. But if you want to stick around and see how it is that I conclude to these affirmations that I've just given you, then just hang on with me, okay? We'll start in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4, it says, "This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scripture." The good news is about his son, Jesus. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what I want you to see to start out with here is Paul is speaking. He says, you know, I have some good news to share with you guys, and this is it. Jesus is the Son of God. And this is how he proved it. He raised from the dead. Anyone else done that? Or, you know, and last week we talked a lot about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and the angel come and said to Mary that this child will be the Son of God. He will be conceived of the Holy Spirit and he will be the Son of God. However, the virgin birth was not the proof to the world that he was God's son. I mean, you know, to challenge that, you know, people would say, well, you know what, I don't believe that. You know, he was probably born in a natural way. But no one could deny the resurrection that came as a result of him being raised from the dead and the apostles witnesses of that, the disciples of Jesus witnesses of that. It declared historically, no one can turn that down and say, yeah, I wasn't there, I don't think it happened. Historically, it did. And that was the event that was chosen by God to be proof that Jesus is in fact the Son of God. And so that establishes us in a confident faith, first of all. If you are a follower of Jesus, you can have this level of confidence, extreme level of confidence that, you know what, I'm following the right one. I'm following God's Son. You know, there's all these other world religions that encourage you to follow their way, to follow their thought, to follow their quote-unquote Savior. Follow their teachings. But we know that we're on the right team because we know Jesus is the Son of God proven by his resurrection. As it says again here, he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead. And then to hear the words of Jesus when he says, you know what, no one comes to the Father but by me. So we see Jesus proven to be the Son of God. By his words, he's saying he's the only way to God. So if you have chosen Jesus as your way to God, it establishes in you a confident faith. You don't have to question, am I on the right path or not? Jesus has declared he is the way, and Jesus has proven his sonship by raising from the dead. Let's continue on. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And I'm going to share this verse with you a couple of times, but first from the New American Standard Bible. In the parentheses behind the scripture reference is the translation that I'm using. So New American Standard Bible says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living hope. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let me share that with you from the New Living Translation. It says this: "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation." Everyone say now.
Now.
Okay, so that's not just for the future. That's not just for us to say, glory, hallelujah, someday we will be raised from the dead like Christ was, looking at the past and looking to the future. But now it gives us what is described here as great expectation, or a living hope, a hope for what is yet to come. But that hope establishes us firm here and now in our confident faith and in our living hope. We're going to spend quite a bit of time in Romans chapter 8. Although I'm putting the verses on the screen, you can turn there if you want to. Because of time, I'm limiting the number of scriptures that I use here this morning. It's like this is so difficult because anytime you start, you know, passing over some of the scriptures, it's like, oh yeah, but there's vital things to share in there as well. And when I start underlining certain things to highlight them to you, it's like, well, what about the rest of the verse? It really should, the whole Bible should be displayed on the screen with every verse underlined, because it's also valuable and also vital and also important. But as a result of time and the reality that you do have an Easter dinner cooking in someone's oven that you're going to go to after this, we will keep it brief. And so I'm just highlighting a few things with you. So here from Romans chapter 8, I'll start with verses 10 and 11. It says, "And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die, the Spirit gives you life. Your body will die because of sin. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." So here's the reality, people. If you didn't know already, your body will die. Well, except for maybe a few. I have a secret, but you'll have to wait for it. A little bit later in the message, I have a secret. Maybe not all of you will. How about that? But here it says that the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Last week we spent a significant amount of time talking about a legal redemption and the person of Jesus and how Jesus had to be born without sin himself, thus the virgin birth. Jesus also had to be flesh, God in the flesh, so that he could pay the price for man's sin. But here's talking about that the Spirit of Jesus, or the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, gives life to your mortal bodies. Now, if the Spirit of God is dwelling on the inside of you already, he is there with that resurrection life already. It's not just something we celebrate in the past. It's not just something we look forward to in the future. But there is a resurrection power that's resident on the inside of us right now. And so I have this question for you. When it speaks of life to your mortal bodies, is that for later or is that for now? And later? The answer is yes. Trick question. But, you know, think about this. The Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, he's dwelling on the inside of your body. He's dwelling on the inside of you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he's there, Resurrection power is on the inside of you. Now, do you think that the Holy Spirit just kind of sits there and waits and waits and waits until, you know, someday Jesus returns, the dead are raised in Christ, and so he's waiting, waiting, wait for it, wait, 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 boom, life, whoosh, and he gives life to your body. Now that's going to happen, but I think that the resurrection power of the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you is going to be a source of strength and life and healing and blessing as a result of him dwelling with that resurrection power on the inside of you. And so it is a frequent prayer of mine when praying for myself or praying for others who have need of healing or restoration in their bodies to declare the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling on the inside of you, dwelling on the inside of me. Let that life-giving Spirit give life to my mortal flesh and restore me into my health. That's a present thing that's happening, not just for the future and not something we just celebrate in the past. Well, let's continue on. We got to get to that secret that I'm going to share with you later. But again, Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, now 17 and 18. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. So here's another reality, you know, reality check, folks. There is suffering in this world. We will experience that. Sometimes things don't always turn out the way we desire that they would, or the way we would expect that they would. And so we end up in trouble. Now, there is a suffering that we bring on ourselves as a result of poor judgment, not using godly wisdom. Sin in our lives can create a lot of suffering. You know, we can avoid that kind of suffering. We don't have to do that. But there's things that are beyond our control as a result of living in a fallen world that will result in us experiencing trouble and trials and suffering. In fact, Jesus said, he said, here on earth you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So here again, we have something that we can apply to our present life here now, although the reality is we're going to experience troubles, but make the comparison. And here's one of the things that establishes us in a firm stability is that when we are going through those issues in life, this is nothing compared. These trials are nothing compared to the glory we're going to experience. So it's like, Lord, knowing that enables me to endure. Knowing that will help me make it through this time. I know that you're here to strengthen me in this time, but knowing that this is nothing compared to the glory I'm going to experience, so I'm going to persevere. I'm going to stay on the pathway, Lord, no matter what the cost, no matter what I suffer. And so we see that there's that reality that there is suffering, but nothing compared to the glory that we will experience. We'll continue on and see that creation is suffering as well in Romans 8, 19 and through 22. For all of creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation, I'm going to stop there for just a second. Why was creation subjected to God's curse? When did that happen? Right at the beginning, at the fall. When Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God, remember that God had given them dominion over all the earth. And they take that and they subject that to the one who is now called the God of this world, who steals, kills, destroys. That's what the thief comes to do. And so even this earth is under a curse. And the earth groans as a result of that. It says, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. See, we experience these things. The earth experienced these things. Things like famine, things like earthquakes, things like volcanic eruptions, things like floods, things like drought. It's the earth groaning, waiting for its day when there'll be no more death or decay, waiting for when God reveals himself in all of his glory to God's children. There'll be a day of deliverance In fact, it's interesting that it uses the term like a woman giving birth to a child. For those of you who have, you understand that, and that the biggest prayer of those is, Lord, let there be a deliverance, right? You know, deliver me, let this child be delivered. And so it is with the earth. The earth is groaning, saying, let there be a deliverance, where God's glory is revealed and the death and the decay is gone, removed from this earth. We'll continue on in Romans chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. And we believers also groan. Okay, so it's not just the earth saying, hey, I've had enough of this. It says we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. So there is this desire. It's like, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that experiences suffering. Maybe I'm the only one that experiences things that happen as a result of old age and decay and that kind of thing. That anyone else have ever experienced anything like that? And it's like, Charlie? Okay, yeah, there's a few honest people here. But the reality is, you know, we do experience that. And so we say, oh, come Lord Jesus, right? Let's be delivered from this kind of thing that we experience while we're here. But it goes on to say, we too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he promised us. Okay, so we're in a pattern of waiting. We're in a pattern of eager waiting and eager expectation. That's the result of that living hope that's on the inside of us. It's like we have something to look forward to, so let's rest in that now, knowing that, yeah, even though I am getting a little older, there's coming an end to this physical body, or the limitations and the things that go on with this physical body, there's coming an end to that, because there is going to be a day where God's glory is completely revealed to his children, and we will experience those bodies that God has designed us for, the bodies for our spirit. So let's continue on. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. So again, that hope is for the here and now while we are waiting. And so we need to wait patiently. We need to wait with confidence. There's that confident faith again, that we're on the right path, we're following the right one, we're following after the one who has already experienced a resurrection and promises a resurrection for us. So we can wait patiently, can't we? We can wait patiently, but also confidently. All right, so let's go into the 1 Corinthians 15, where we're going to see what this is all about. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verses 3 and 4. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins just as the Scriptures said. He was buried. And he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. And then on to verses 20 through 23. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. Verse 21. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. My question for you today is, do you belong to Christ? Do you have this assurance of this new life? You already have the assurance of sin and death. That came as a result of you being born into this world after the order of Adam. And as a result of the sin of Adam, sin and death spread to all mankind. But if you have received Jesus, if you are in Christ, then this promise of this new life is given to you. Everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Okay, but there's an order about this new life coming, as we see as we continue on verse 23. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest, then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. And then verses 42 through 44. It's the same with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised to live in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. So this body is going to lay down someday. It's going to be buried. It's going to die. It's going to decay. But there's this promise of God that it's going to be raised up. Something completely new. Something completely transformed. What was once weakness is raised in strength. What was once brokenness is raised in glory. What was once in weakness, what was once a natural human body is going to be raised as a spiritual body. Then continuing on, verse 51 through 53. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. Remember, I shared with you that I have a secret to share? This is it. Here, folks. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. When it says we will not die, you know, the reality is there are some folks that are going to be alive when Jesus returns. Some of us may, in fact, still be alive when Jesus returns. And so you go, oh, okay, there's no body in the grave to be raised up, so what's going to happen with me? Do I just get this body for eternity? No, please, I want to die first so I can be raised up a new body. No, it says you'll be changed, you'll be transformed, because this perishable cannot inherit that which is imperishable. So there's the secret. Not everyone will die. And so you can either go, you know, come Lord Jesus, be my guest. No, it's an Easter dinner prayer. Come Lord Jesus soon. I mean, that's what John concludes with in Revelation, the book of Revelation. Even so, come Lord Jesus. It's like, deliver us. It's like we're still groaning, right? So Jesus, come and save me. You know, that'd be just fine if I didn't have to die. But even if I die, we all have the same promise. We're going to be raised up. We're going to be raised up in newness of life. We're going to be raised up with these new resurrected bodies after the order of Jesus and his resurrection. So let's continue on here. I kind of started halfway through the verse, and it says, and we who are living will also be transformed, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Now, the graphic that I'm sharing with you, many of you would connect that with something that's called the rapture or the catching away of the saints. The word rapture is not used in Scripture, but it speaks of a catching away of the saints to meet him in the air. And so there is this concept that at some point, those who are alive in Christ, when he comes, will be gathered up together to meet him in the air. Just how exactly that's going to happen, I don't know. But the reality is there is a transformation that's going to take place, as it says, just in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. Some glad morning, when this life is o'er, Lord, I'll fly away. We need to change up the words to that song a little bit. It says, when I die, or even if I don't, I'll fly away, right? When I die, or even if I don't, I'll fly away. Can we do that, Art? Can we just add some? I think we'll do that with that song. Because the truth is, some will not die. We know that. Just who that is, that's the secret. We don't know. All right, so let's go on. 1 Corinthians 15 and then verses 54 through 57. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we have this living hope about what is there ahead of us. This living reality that, yes, our body's going to die unless He comes first, but we're going to be raised up to this newness of life, and we will have victory over death and the grave. Now, as a result of this living hope, it will give us a firm foundation. It will give us a firm stability. And I want you to see this in Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 18 through 19. This is something that Dale shared when he was sharing his message with us about hope and what hope is to us in our soul or our mind, our will and emotions. This living hope that we have from Hebrews 6, it says, "So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us." This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Again, the souls being our mind, our will, and our emotions. This living hope that we have is going to establish us so we have a firm stability in the life that we're living now, even though the trouble that Jesus said we would have as long as we are here on this earth, even though the suffering that we experience and the things that happen in our lives that are the unexpected and difficult things to deal with, we have this living hope that establishes us to be at peace no matter what's going on. I remember two specific instances where I was, could have been, very, very close to death. One of them was when I was on what they call Death Road in Bolivia on my way to Carnavi, and we were in this mid-sized bus. Now think, people, third world country, bus on this mountain road. There are no guardrails on the side. The road is carved into the mountain, big enough, almost big enough for one vehicle. And so I remember sitting there, looking out my window like this, looking down, and the firm stability that I had was, if I go down, I'm going up. I knew that. It's like, I feel bad for my family, but you know what? I would not be bad off. If I'm going down, I'm going up. That was that firm, secure stability that I had as a result of the hope that was in me. I know my place in Christ, and I know that I'm going to be have that resurrection or that that transformation will take place in my life. So the life that we have here on earth is not the complete, not the all. The other close was when I had a blood vessel burst in my brain, and they were going to open me up to fix it. Now, I didn't deny reality. I shared with Melanie where the life insurance policies were before going into that operation. But the security and the, both her and I were walking in that peace through that experience of, you know, the doctors were very plain with us about what could happen and, you know, the unfortunate things that could happen as well. But the peace that we had to walk in was a result of that firm stability because of the hope that's in us. When things don't turn out, people, even if it comes to premature death on this earth, it's kind of like, yeah, so what? It's just early graduation day where we go to get to be with the Father, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And there will be those who have died in Christ, maybe even prematurely, but there is that blessed promise of resurrection. And those who are alive and remain, when He returns, will be transformed in the blink of an eye. So those kinds of things establish us to be firm in our faith and to have a firm stability as a result of the hope, the living hope, and the confident faith that we have. So, in conclusion, the power of the resurrection enables us, again, to have a confident faith where Jesus proves Him to be the Son of God and the only way to get to God. And so my question is, do you have that confident faith for yourself that you are on that proven path? Have you made Jesus your way to get to God? Secondly, that living hope, which is that there is this life beyond this earth existence. There is, will be glorified bodies without the suffering that we experience here. Do you have that living hope? And then thirdly, that firm stability, that hope is the anchor for your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. For your emotional well-being, that is the present power of the resurrection functioning in your life, in your well-being, in your spirit, your soul, and your body. Has this hope created in you a stability of mind and soul, of your emotions, no matter what kinds of things are going on in your life? Will you remain at peace? As we conclude today, I'm going to encourage the music team to come up. They're going to share a special with us. And let's, as they do that, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for these scriptures that you have given. There are so many more. It's hard to make it as brief as this, but Father, to see within these texts the promises that are ours in Christ Jesus, the reality that he is the Son of God, and we have the proof of his resurrection to reveal that, and to know that we are on the right path establishes us in that confident faith. And then, Lord, to have the living hope that is ours as a result of us being born again into this relationship with God, whereby you have made us to be right with you. And then that living hope establishes us, Lord, to be secure in our mind, our will, our emotions, to know that no matter what happens here on this earth, we have this secure future with you and a resurrected body that will no more experience pain or suffering or sickness or death. We're so grateful for that that is promised to us and how it establishes us firm in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.